What's up, guys? It's FaZe Fitch here, along with FaZe Stud, representing FaZe Clan. This podcast is sponsored by G Fuel. Oh, no, they broke up with FaZe Clan, didn't they? Ghost Energy, they're paying us loads of money for this. Our team that we started, FaZe Clan, when we were just humble snipers, is now a public company. And our stock price has only dropped 30% on the first day. So you could say it's been a success.
Nice. And this video is also FaZe Fitch, sponsored by our new crypto scam, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, called Rob the Kids.
Save the Kids, yeah, exactly. Sponsored by our new crypto website and our new NFT scam. Unbelievable.
There we go. Well, they did say they're getting into Web3, whatever the fuck that actually means.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Just to clarify, so no one, I don't know if we can get sued or anything, we're not sponsored by anyone, we're not getting paid for this. I feel like YouTube has some weird things about it.
It's probably
no one is willing to pay
cover our bases. No, I know, yeah. It's pretty pathetic, isn't it?
But we're back after a good month, 6 week break or something along those lines.
Yeah, your boy's been gallivanting. Been to Greece, then I went to, well, started a new job. Then went to Greece. Went to Greece, then started a new job, sorry. Then worked the job. Didn't really want to do an episode then because I was pretty busy. Then went on a stag do to Benidorm. Scenes there, and now we're back.
Can't even imagine.
And yeah, it was pretty. Oh, mate, I didn't enjoy most of it, to be honest with you.
I had a little break where I had to go to a family wedding, and I love the people who got married; they're great. But I went with my grandma and granddad and my mum, and my grandma and granddad decided they just couldn't walk anymore, and I had to use walking sticks, and I had to walk them everywhere. Like it was a full circle moment where I became like the adult, and they were like back to being fucking kids who would just shit themselves and couldn't walk in a straight line. You know what I mean? So, no offense.
Everybody has that, don't they? That moment where you're like, oh shit, they're just people like me.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I could push them down the stairs and get this done so I can just enjoy the nice weather in Cornwall. But I decided not to because I don't know if I'm in their will or not yet. So I need to find their will.
Yeah, find out definitely bang myself before in you it. Do something daft, yeah.
Yeah, and because knowing them, that it would be like Werther's Originals and some mints or something is all I'll get. And that's it, my lovely northern grandparents. But we're not here to talk about my grandparents, unfortunately. That's the next episode.
We're here to talk about FaZe.
You've got the popcorn fucking ready. I
won't be munching all episode. I just want to say that right now. Before we stop.
I would mute your audio track the entire way through.
Oh, I could do that.
If that was the case. Even when you're talking, I'll just have a solo episode, mate, with you just kind of miming. On the other side.
But TikTok dancing in the background.
So I don't know where exactly is the best place to start, but I felt like the journey of FaZe going public's been a bit mental, and we don't have to linger on it, but everything seemed fine. They were going to merge in a SPAC deal and go public to the tune of $1 billion equity valuation, roughly. Which is a very good number, gets them in headlines, non-esports publication headlines, which is obviously much more valuable to them, I'm sure, and more desirable. And then they basically didn't lie, but were massively overly confident in their financial capabilities and lost like 28.7 million that year, and their adjusted EBITDA was like almost 10 million off what they forecasted and basically told the other company that was looking to like merge them.
And I think what was that? They put all of their eggs into the basket of let's try an IPO it's pretty complicated, but while there are more funds available through this company that we're using for the SPAC, so is it B. Riley Portfolio or something like that? If they would have IPO'd towards the end of 2021, they would have had access to way more money, basically. Like, that's the long and short of it. Like, it's pretty complex. I don't really understand it. Their prediction, their projection was based on that. So they inflated it. Like you said, they didn't inflate it, technically. They didn't, to be fair. But they definitely, they chose the rosy projection, obviously. Because the company is just about hype. I think that's one of the things. I don't want to jump the gun, but that is the FaZe as a company. Like, that's what they do. They're just a hype machine. And I get it, content is hype to some extent. But their whole brand is just about hype and about how you can pump things up. You know, see, like I was joking before about the crypto stuff and the Web3 stuff and the NFT, or the NFT gambling website that Banks was part of. Like, there's been a lot of, everything's just about hype, which is really, it's risky for a company like that to go public, especially with the amount of scandals that FaZe have had. So you've got volatility just as part of the brand. It's all about boosting. It's all about hype. And now they're a public company. I don't know. It's a real risk.
Who needs tangible assets when you've got hype?
Bro? Yeah.
That's exactly. The most intangible thing ever. It's like, no, we don't own any other companies besides FaZe, but mate, we've got a lot of hype. If you look at our clout on Twitter, mate, it's banging. Mm. Like, I don't, which, that's not to really some pitch.
To some extent, yeah, it's not, and not in a traditional sense, but then on the other hand, you can say at least that shows that they have got a really strong brand that people will follow. You know, whatever they do, people will still be fans of them, so they can always, you know, churn more shit out.
A quote I saw, which it was in GQ, where FaZe did an interview. And I think it sums up their status as an esports organization pretty well. So a geezer called Daniel Shribman, who now becomes he's on the board of directors for FaZe Clan post-merger. He said that from a financial perspective, esports are significant here. What FaZe has done differently is built out a holistic media entertainment company. So in the Sports Illustrated cover story they had, they basically said like, yeah, esports is all right. We'll give it three sentences, but that's not really what we're about. And again, this here, they've even said esports financially does fuck all for us. I guess it's almost like they want to keep that side going, and they've got some probably a good amount of fans in the esports, so you don't want to lose that. But also, it's like, it's just another string to their bow. It's like, oh yeah, well, we've got this media stuff, but we also have teams that win, which, I mean, most prize pool goes to the players anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't look great. So yeah, they're even admitting that they're a media company. And I think Lee Trink, the CEO, said today that like that they are the first Gen Z native brand that has gone public or something along those lines, just again like hyping up some absolute bullshit in my mind at least, or like using such like generic like buzz phrases and such realistically. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, it's all shrouded in mystery what it actually is, your actual value. Like, you get eyeballs and you can sell sponsors based on it. Like, that's all you've got right now effectively.
Yeah, I wonder what the instructions have been from the top down to the likes of Banks and the people that make content and are always in the headlines for the wrong reasons. Because on the one hand, they are your company. That's the reason FaZe is who they are, because of this content machine. And on the other hand, how do you square that with, you need to rein it in now because we're a public company. Anything you do is going to touch our share price. So again, that's what I mean. I honestly think this could be a fucking train wreck, genuinely. Like, I'm very rarely this pessimistic about stuff. But with the state of the financial market, not even just the financial market, like, even geopolitically, like, everything is fucked at the moment. Everything.
The world.
Yeah, it's, like, the worst time for a company like FaZe to go public. And like I said, what do you do? Like, you know, as Lee Trink and co, have they been telling Banks and Rogue, whoever else, like, keep it family friendly, don't do anything? But then what's their content going to look like? Surely they're going to then decline. Like, it's a really strange one. And like you said, they're a media company. They're definitely not a fucking esports org. not properly, like, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's odd.
And while you say it is like the worst time for them to go public, that's true, but I think it may also be a great time for them to gain access to however much money they're going to get. And then, as we said before, like, I think it was like 297 million they were going to gain access to post merger, where they can, like, that's money to play with. Like, that's liquid cash. It's bound to have dropped by now. Obviously, things have changed, but say they've got 150 mil or 200 mil at their disposal still. I don't know if anyone knows, like, outside of FaZe at the moment, but say they've even got 100 mil to play with. Like, they're at the point now, in my mind, where they need to find tangible assets and companies. So you look at 100 Thieves with High Ground and the game they're making. You look at Space Station Gaming, who launched an energy drink. You look at Optic, who just bought Botissimo, which is like a content creator monetization and analytical tool. You look at TSM with Blitz. The reason TSM as a whole makes money is because of Blitz. Like, this is the time now where they could probably go and snatch some of these smaller companies, which like a solid revenue streams for and actual assets. So, and like you put the phase name in front of something, and it'll appeal as long as it's somewhat relevant to the audience. And I do think they know their audience decently well. So I think it could be a benefit in this time, because a lot of companies are going to be strapped for cash or are in like a very shell version of themselves, where it's like, okay, we've streamed staff, operations, we've got the expenses as low as possible. And then FaZe come in and say, hey, do you want to join FaZe? We've just gone public. Like, we'll give you 20 mil.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And like their company could be like, it's like, well, fucking hell. Yeah. Like, to join FaZe as well, that's such a great great feature alongside with it. So I feel like that's something we're going to see.
Yeah. I think you make a really good point.
First time ever.
A lot of people forget that an IPO, like going public, that is a fundraising effort ultimately. That's what a lot of people forget, is because I have to preface, but like it frees up shares that aren't currently taken by institutional investors, essentially, doesn't it? So it frees up a bunch of shares, and then when that IPO happens, a big boost in capital gained by FaZe. Uh-huh. So then they'll definitely be using that to acquire. I wonder who. Like, that's interesting. I guess we could even make a whole new video on that if we could be bothered.
Yeah, I do think it makes sense. What if, I remember I found a trademark before 100 Thieves, like it was like an energy drink trademark. So like maybe they're writing that stuff up. I think obviously FaZe had like the 10-year long or whatever, I think it was 10 years relationship with G Fuel and moved over to Ghost. But what if like they've got a 5-year Ghost deal or 2-year, 1-year, and in the background they're working on making their own thing? Like, why are we going to boost G Fuel sales when we can do it ourselves and take 100% of the profits instead of like an affiliate amount?
Yeah,
things like that, and like content creator tools. What if they get another Botissimo? Like, you look at, or maybe they go for like a Streamlabs OBS or something like that. Things that make the content creation realm easier, or I don't know, more effective, I suppose. Like, those things I think make sense to me. They've also got like the Beats deal and stuff. Like, you've got to think they do have the full like capability of doing whatever they want effectively, because they're a lifestyle brand. It's not like they're trapped in, whereas you think of Optic, you do think of esports still. While they've got the content side, actually you think more about like the Call of Duty and what they're doing in Valorant right now, and the fact that they've entered Rocket League and Apex Legends and stuff. Like, I don't think FaZe is tied down to that. They could release like flip-flops and it wouldn't feel like off-brand for them, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah.
FaZe Snoop. Snoop Dogg's on the board of... he's on the board of directors, right? So maybe they'll get into like some FaZe Kush.
Yeah, I mean, they could, couldn't they? Because they're LA based, aren't they? So they could definitely do that.
Yeah, yeah. So who knows?
Again, though,
anything can work.
Yeah, how would that land with being a public company? Like, how would that land with investors? Because, you know, I watched a video the other week. I think it was Kevin O'Leary, if you know who that is, the guy off Shark Tank, that's what it's called.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Was it him on Impulsive by any chance?
It might have been on Impulsive, yeah, because I've been listening to that recently. It's really good.
Same, for some reason.
Really fucking good podcast. I slept on Logan Paul. I really like him. Uh-huh.
But anyway, sorry.
Yeah, anyway, what was he saying? He was basically saying, don't invest in weed. And I don't think this was on Logan Paul's podcast, actually. I think he was saying it somewhere else. Don't invest in weed because... XYZ, in a roundabout way, you get to, yes, it's legal in certain states in the US, but then you get to a point where if you ship it to another state that's legal, maybe some logistical problem where it has to pass through a certain state, something like that, it would then end up being like a bloody, he referenced like a RICO case where you take all this, which is obviously massive, like take all of this evidence and then use it against a company or an organization, whatever. So he basically said, I'd completely avoid investing in weed, like 100%. So even something like that, would investors shit themselves if that happened? Like, it's really interesting. I wonder what FaZe is going to do.
I'd say like the 18-year-old kids who were just like, FaZe the fuck up, bro. I imagine they'd be like, that's sick.
Yeah, I'm sure they would.
That's
sick, yeah.
That's pucker. Oh no, that's very English.
Yeah, they would say that's pucker. That's scunny, that.
It's actually scunny. All right, well, but you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they'd just be like, oh, that's sick, bro. Let's get fucked up.
Yeah, they would definitely, but then how would the share price be affected? I find it really interesting, like, why FaZe decided to go through with it when you see so many other SPACs being, like, cancelled just because of the landscape. Like I said, it's the financial markets, it's inflation, but it's also, like, geopolitical uncertainty.
Well, it's hard to get VC funding now for a lot of companies, isn't it? And esports, I think investors have become more wise to the reality of esports over the past few years.
So if you look at this as, like, a fundraising thing?
Oh, I'd say almost 100%. I mean, and then also, going public itself is a hype, like, cultural moment for them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they feed off of hype. They play into hype. Like, oh, we're public. We've got this big IPO coming. We can build into it. That's sick. Yeah, they've got access to however much money now, which is going to help. It's hard to get access normally now, I would suggest, or at the rates they'd expect. I don't know what series they're on. They've probably done, like, a Series B. But, like, you'd want to go bigger and better for your Series C, right? But I think investors are wising up to the reality of things now, where I bet some Overwatch League investors and owners probably thought they'd have some sort of return in, like, the next year or two, when in reality now, like, they're still not having to fucking pay the franchise fees because the league shat itself in the midst of COVID and stuff. So I think it's harder to get your typical venture capital firms and investors to buy into the vision now. You'd think FaZe would, if anyone could be an exception to the rule, it'd be FaZe. But still, I don't know how much they could get. Like, not to the tune of hundreds of millions, like they probably have access to now.
Yeah.
And also, as well, they'd already ridden on the coattails of the billion-dollar organization. They had those headlines. And while that itself is good, like, oh, even if they cancelled it, they could be like, oh, well, if we did go public, would have been valued at a billion. Like, so we are, in a sense, like, for us, that's enough. You know, but, like, also, you don't really want to go back on that.
That's what I was going to say is, like, that public pressure, because they're such a public company, is that one of the main reasons why they went through with this regardless? Because what? I mean, it's just interesting to think about. Like, they were saying $1 billion, like, going to be valued at $1 billion. And what is it? What was it when they debuted? Was it today or yesterday? They debuted at, like, 725 mil or something. That's a massive drop from a bill.
It is. Like, it is, massive. But they'll still get called $1 billion organization. That's the thing. Like, no one, like, most websites won't even do that research. You know what I mean? When it comes to esports coverage, they don't give a fuck about facts.
Yeah, no, but a lot of the proper outlets will avoid calling them $1 billion industry.
You'd hope. Well, yeah. Well,
like the fast companies in the industry, mate. Yeah. Like the fast companies in the Washington Post and shit like that. You'd hope they, you know, write about it properly. I'm just trying to find the stock price right now.
Good luck. I tried literally, like, I don't think on the actual NASDAQ website, I don't think they'd switched over the ticker URL and stuff properly from Riley to FaZe, so I couldn't access the page.
Okay.
So I just had to, like, do the dollar sign of FaZe and search for their ticker in Google to find stuff. And they've also got a stock chat on the FaZe website as well.
Mm.
If you go investor.fazeclan.com.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of stuff on there.
I'll have a look in a bit. So, how
shows how invested I am in this shit. Oh, that's a question. Would you invest in FaZe?
Just as a regular person that can invest in any public company available, or as someone that's coming from esports?
I'd say you.
Just me on the criteria that I invest upon or within.
Yeah, sure. Because I think that's a good sign as to how you generally feel about FaZe Clan's prospects and the market as a whole, perhaps.
Oh, I don't know, you know. I really don't know.
If it's not a full yes, it's a no. That's
what
the self-help books say. So.
I mean, right now, investing in the stock market full stop is maybe not the wisest decision, unless you really believe in a company and the price is lower than it would have otherwise been, and so you know, you're buying low with the hope that it increases in, like, a few years. Honestly, nah, mate, I don't really trust the FaZe executive team. I don't really like the content they make. I mean, a lot of people do, to be fair. Maybe that's just a... I mean, from a personal preference perspective, I really don't like most of the content they put out, but that doesn't really make a difference. Like, I was on FaZe Rug, and like, I get why you would do this, and fair play, I suppose, but I was on FaZe Rug's YouTube channel, and mate, he may as well have just written over the front of his video, like, this is a complete ripoff of Mr. Beast. Sorry. He may as well have just written that. Like, it was the most... Yeah, I mean, yeah, you'll have to just go.
What is he doing? Like stuff like I spent 20 days underground with no oxygen, and or like, it's someone like giving 10 Lambos away to strangers. Like,
yeah, it is. It's like I put a million pieces of fucking styrofoam beads, whatever they are, in a pool, and one real peanut or something, and you have to find the peanut, and it's like times these people trying to find it. But it's like, but it's not just that, it's the way it's edited, and everything is like, honestly, it's ripped straight from a fucking Mr. Beast thing. Yeah. Anyway, that's a bit of a tangent. Would I invest in them? I don't know, mate. Like I said, there's so many scandals because a lot of the people near the top of FaZe are actual pieces of shit. Like FaZe Banks just seems like a cunt. Like,
yeah.
He seems like a dickhead. There's the whole vibe about him, like, you know, and I'm not the most politically correct, like, left-leaning person in the world, but I definitely am. And, like, they have, like, one female in the whole roster of content creators, I swear, which is not a phase.
I think it's Kaylee Renee, is how you pronounce her name. And they had FaZe Ewok, but FaZe Ewok transitioned. So it's all, like, it was a funny joke I saw at the time, like, FaZe is so full of toxic masculinity that they turned Ewok, and I was like, I don't know if I should say that during this recording, but I mean, it's a joke, so I did laugh at it though.
Yeah, it is very. It's a very bro culture company, isn't it? That's like,
well, that's why the exit. That's what the exit leader said when they left. Like, actually, like Greg Selko and them, he was given permission to fuck off effectively, but they was like, I think they called it like frat house culture, and frat house is what got quoted by everyone since. And it makes sense in a sense, but also one thing I want to say quickly, what I remember, obviously FaZe came up from like the trick shotting days and competitive sniping to a degree in COD, but like it was like, I think it was the camaraderie between them all, which was a big part of it, as well as obviously having the best players, the best trick shotters. But over time now, it's not about the gameplay per se. Obviously they cycle in new talent who are about the games, like all the Fortnite people they've got and stuff, right? They've got like Nick Merckx, who's banging it out on Apex Legends or whatever game he chooses to play. He's probably banging it out. But the old members, the old guard there, you've got like FaZe Temper, he's just boxing. FaZe Rain, he went through a lot of tough stuff, right?
He had depression and all that shit.
I saw a video where he was walking earlier, so I was like, oh, that's good, because I know he was wheelchair bound at one point. But like effectively, like there's none of that there anymore. When they moved from New York to LA, it all changed. According to a lot of the fans, they'll say like, "I miss the old FaZe," which I think was on the back of their t-shirts today when they were in New York, ready for the public listing. But like, who they are and what they stand for has changed a lot, and now they're just a roster, seemingly from what I see on the outside, just a roster. Like, there's just a collection of players, individual players. Besides, you've got like Nuke Squad, which is Swag and those, right? Besides, like the little things, they're all kind of doing their own thing. It I don't know. It feels like a big departure from what it was, and I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing per se. But like, things have obviously changed there, and with that, your identity has to change, even if you acknowledge it or not. So I don't even know how to describe. Yeah, a media company works, but like, and I think they've got, is it a deal with Twitch they made where they'd have original content made, like game shows or a reality TV show and stuff like that?
I'm not sure.
If I remember correctly, I think there was some original content, and I think one of them put out a horror movie or something. I don't know, man. It's just a strange thing where it feels very disjointed now. Whereas if you look at the Optic Boys and that, they're all at the Hex Quarters in Texas. Like, it's almost like a fucking Marvel movie, because you never know who's going to pop up in the background of a stream or something. Like, it's just going to be cameo from the Halo team when you're watching Scump or something along those lines. Like, that feels very much like they've kept the same energy and vibe and attraction and what they used to have, you know?
Let us read you something that your former colleague, actually, Nathan Edmonds, tweeted at me in preparation for this episode. He said, so I said, about to record a Cyber Athletics ep with by Adam Fitch. hit me with your hottest FaZe Clan takes in the next 20 minutes. He said, they've forgotten entirely what made fans love them, and their influencers are now just money-driven robots who don't have a single bit of morality left. So I thought that was pretty nice. I mean, I've not followed the FaZe group that much, like, in the last 10 years or something. But, and also, shout out to Berger. I'm trying Andrew to think, Berger. I don't actually, is that his name? Yeah, Andrew Berger, yeah. Right, okay. Yeah, I'm just on his Twitter and he doesn't have it on there. He said, what's burning, cash or creators sub counts? Thought that was pretty spicy.
That is a good question. And my answer is, why not both?
Yeah. So is that, I mean, I don't know for a fact that that's like, I mean, I'm sure it is if he's saying it, but so a FaZe Clan creators sub counts, like are some of them on the decline or what?
I don't know. Maybe like view counts. Like I went on FaZe Blaze, like one of the MotoG members. Went on his YouTube channel. It's like 30k views or 80k views and stuff, which like is good for a smaller creator getting big, but not for a big creator who's remained a big creator and is no longer actually a big creator beyond his name, you know? So going back to what you said, like there's a bunch of liabilities on the roster, effectively. You look at your banks and co's, and I remember before, maybe it was a year or two ago, like there was an interview or stream or something where Banks said him, Lee Trink, and like two other members, probably Temper and one other, like make all of the decisions. I think the reality is Lee asks them questions and makes the decisions he wants anyway, but gets their input. Like I would fuck him off, even if it pisses off a lot of people, which no doubt it would. Like that's a short-term dip. Like if overall decision making and overall chances of absolute bullshit occurring are going to go down, now you've got to think about your shareholders and you've got to protect them. You're not just beholden to the fans anymore. You're beholden to literal shareholders. Like you've got to be careful with that shit. And he in particular is a pure liability. Like there's going to be some other shit. Like, there was the CS:GO skin stuff coming back in the day where he denied it all this time, even though there's evidence. There's a bunch of shit like like what was he like fucking fighting a lass in a club, smashed up a hotel room, all this kind of shit. I remember there was a video once where he's like, it was quoted a couple months ago, I think, by like Jake Lucky caught it, where he said like people liked FaZe in the beginning because we're all cool, everyone else is nerdy little gamers. You go back to all the videos, they were absolute fucking neeks like the rest of them. And there was a video like where they go into a GameStop or something and like, hey, what's on FaZe? Like expecting to get like some big uproar, and he was just like, who?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that actually just like is symbolic of probably what actually happens in Banks' life.
Yeah.
He has like the Steve Jobs like reality force field where it doesn't matter what goes on outside of just like a foot beyond him, like he is who he says he is and reality happens as he wants it, you know?
Yeah.
It's a mad one.
100%. Like, if you have enough instances like that where you just think, what a fucking prick, like, you must be a fucking prick. You know what I mean? And like you said, it's actual, like, controversies. It's not just he's done a few things where he's been a dick. He's like, he's effectively scammed people. I was watching, it's only alleged, but, you know, yeah, you said something about a girl in a club or something. Yeah, I know he did something. It was at, like, a party and he did something, I don't know exactly what. He didn't hit a woman, but like grabbed her forcefully and like left a bruise on her neck and shit. And then she started complaining. I don't know. Like that's just alleged, but.
Well, I wouldn't want to be associated alleged with that. And again, now like every little thing like that can fully affect like your stock price and your bottom line. Like you've got to protect yourself from toxic energy now.
It all changes. Everything fucking changes. Anytime the shareholders go center stage, everything changes.
Yeah, man. Like, you see the whole Enthusiast Gaming stuff where, like, the biggest, like, I think it was like the biggest shareholder, like, it was a group and they remained anonymous, like, their actual identities. But, like, they penned a very scathing letter, I think, probably past month, 2 months.
About the CEO?
Yeah, like, saying the board of fuck, the CEO shit. Like, you've got no faith in the company, all this kind of stuff. And immediately, Enthusiasts were like, now this is all unfounded claims and absolute bullshit. And now, like, the two of the members of these complaining shareholders are on the board. They've just nominated a new CEO. Like, they've actually purely affected change. Enthusiasts, a company that's burning $40 million a year. You know what I mean? And, like, they say, like, they're the biggest media company in North America. because they own all of these sites and YouTube channels and stuff. But like, none of that matters when you've got shareholders who are unhappy, who presumably have a lot of influence over other ones, you know. So FaZe has that kind of stuff to look forward to if they act up, or if they don't organize themselves sufficiently. Like, I was speaking to the co-founder of a public company just earlier today. He reached out to me and he basically said, like, yeah, like, the company is led by a bunch of charlatans. So, and like, the board of directors are fucked. Like, he was literally saying that shit needs to change, and he knows a lot more than I do on that kind of stuff, I will say. So don't take my word for it, take his, I suppose.
Nice. So how positive are you feeling about FaZe Clan going public at a valuation of $725 million?
I mean, I don't see where the actual worth is. It's all intangibles again. It's all as the views, sure.
Subscribers and views,
which you can buy effectively.
Yeah, influencers to boost marketing and stuff like that.
Like Guild does it. You know, they've lost some of them now, but like, they bought, they went from like basically no owned audience to like 6 million, 10 million in no time because they were just signing creators. Owned audience is rented realistically, you know. But
Exactly.
So like, they're never going to have any harm in that department. But what if YouTube decides they don't like FaZe anymore, or the algorithm changes massively, the kind of meta on YouTube, where it's no longer Mr. Beast E stuff and it's something actually, you know, like, that's not very replicable. If you look at like Ryan Trahan, who just did the 30 days across America, but the Penny stuff, like, that's actual dedication. That is actual talent and stuff. And
exactly.
Personability, like, skills and dedication. Like, that's more than just like, oh, I need to do a daily video today. What can I do? I'll react to Reddit. You know what
that's,
I mean? Like,
that's actually going from first principles and saying, like, what video do I want to make? And that's actually being creative. Like I said, I mean, I don't think this is true for everyone on FaZe, but, you know, they don't seem, I don't think any of them are, they're all big, but they're all big based on legacy, at least the ones that have been around for a while. Like, they're not, are they doing anything that special now? I feel like YouTube and online content moves so fucking fast.
I'd say like Zuma stands out with his like the flagship
Zuma.
Got. He's like a figurehead of the Call of Duty community now. Like, he could have faded into obscurity very quickly when like retiring because of his, I think, thumb issue. But instead he like saw a gap that some had tried to fill but hadn't done it appropriately, and he has all the connections and contacts and stuff already and relationships already, right? And he's kind of jumped in and he actually found his way back to FaZe because of that, but not as a player, as a creator. Like, that kind of stuff's cool, and like, he's been sending amateur players or semi-pro players to tournaments, like funding them. There's like the Stallions, like part of another brand. So like, he's building stuff. Well, that's cool. But
and I
can't say the same for many others.
No, I think if you look at Swag's numbers, it's pretty crazy. Like, he's doing well. He's one of the ones that's like of the new school on FaZe smashing it. Like, they have got them, and like I said, they've got a lot of celebrities. Nick Merckx obviously is like, he's one of my favourites. I think I've said that before. Like, I love him. I think he's fucking quality. So they're there, but it's FaZe. Like, I don't know. Yeah, they've got a reputation, but like you were saying, maybe they need to come away from the shit stirrers.
You don't want to go full Disney, I suppose, because that Nickelodeon style stuff exists. And kids are going to do it better than adults. But, like, it seems to me like short-term hit, hopefully long-term prosper, if you know for sure that they are actually a detriment. But I don't want to dodge your question. Am I positive about it all? Like, I wouldn't put money into it. I'd say that much. I also don't want to judge the performance based on the first day of them being live, the volatility there. Yeah, it's gone down like 30% their stock price, but, like, It's the next few months where we really work out what's what, I think, right? I think, like, Ryan at Rush B, who's now Ryan at Dust 2, I don't know if he changed his app, but, like, he's a finance bro who's just gone full-time in esports quite recently. He was saying, like, he expects it to go under $5 in, like, a few weeks, like, 2-3 weeks or something.
Did he really say that?
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. So, like, he generally knows what he's on about, and, like, he's been around and in working in esports for ages, but he's new to full-time esports. So, like, he isn't full jaded, like, myself, for example. So, like, I don't think he's just saying it as an attack. And some other people share that same sentiment. So I'm not overall positive. What I will say is, though, I am, and I never thought I'd say this, and I hope this never gets clipped out of context, but I am rooting for FaZe Clan. While I think esports is inherently fucked now with all the Saudi stuff, Russia stuff, like the double standards, all the bullshit, which were made very clear in past episodes, I think esports is fucked. It could have been a lot better than what it is, but like we've gone the normal path of sports, I suppose. We want to be a sport, here we fucking go. FaZe is the biggest brand we have, even though they're only like somewhat linked to esports at this point. They have teams, but they're not really an esports team brand. They have the Sports Illustrated cover. They have Kyler Murray. They have LeBron James' son. They have Snoop Dogg. They have Lil Yachty, Offset. They've got a bunch of other investors as well. Like Pitbull, I think, is an investor. There's a bunch of other people. Maybe even Ray J, if I remember correctly, which is a mad one. They've got a bunch of links to the mainstream of entertainment, or like core pillars of entertainment that have been around a long time. And they're well known outside of just esports. So if they can't make this work, I don't have much hope for an Astralis to bounce back, or who else is public? Guild.
Listen, we're going to be doing a whole fucking episode on Guild at some point, I'm telling
yes,
you.
Yes, there's a lot to go on, you know. still working on an article there.
So. Yeah, all right. Okay, good.
But you know what I mean? Like if they can't do it, it's not very confidence filling for the industry as a whole. If FaZe Clan can't make it work, considering they're much bigger outside of esports even, like than any other organization, then I'm not sure any can for the foreseeable future. I don't know how many years you put on that, 10, 15 years. I don't know. Things can move quickly. But basically, I'm rooting for it to work, because it's a dub that the industry could take. It would be something encouraging, even amidst all of the bullshit globally, economically, that's going on, you know?
Yeah. Well said. I think just to add to that, as we come to the end of it, like I was saying about volatility earlier, like, what is it? Half of their revenue comes from sponsorships, which is nothing new in esports, obviously.
Is it only half?
I think, yeah. I think it's half.
I don't know where else it's coming from, to be honest. But...
yeah. What was I going to say?
Oh, sorry, mate.
No, it's fine.
You said it was on about volatility.
Yeah, and so I was reading Cecilia's article in Bloomberg. And she was saying, like, that's, you know, forget all the other volatile stuff that FaZe does. Sponsorship is very volatile in the current climate. Sure. You know, and I think, like I said, you've got just the nature of FaZe Clan, and then you've got the partnership reliance, then you've got the controversy, you've got the hype machine, which you just never know how long is FaZe. Like, FaZe have always been cool, like they have. Yeah, they're probably going to keep going with that, because they're always just going to find the next cool person. Like, they've done a good job of that, to be fair. But how much longer is something going to be cool? And it's hard to say, isn't it? It's like you can be bullish and bearish on it. I'm relatively bearish. Like, I'm pretty skeptical, just because, like, but skeptical of that, not of them as a company necessarily, but skeptical of them as a public company midway through 2022. I just think it's a big risk. And I might, if I had money to spare, just pump some in, just see what happens. But I'm not going to put my fucking life savings in it, I'll say that much.
If you gave me £1 million right now and said, like, you can have this, but you have to put it into, I don't know, like companies somewhere, any company. Mm. Like, I wouldn't even put a penny in FaZe. Like,
no, it would just look elsewhere. And 100 Thieves aren't public, are they? But they're an example of someone like FaZe that just seems to be doing it much better, in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
They're like FaZe without the controversy for the most part.
Yeah,
but they actually have like tangible assets as well.
Exactly.
As you said, they've got the compound, which itself is like a tourist attraction at this point, effectively. They're building a game, which will take years to do. It's going to be tough. They've just laid off like over 17 people, which is rough as well. But yeah, Highground, they've got the merchandise. I'd say I'm 95% sure they're shifting more merchandise than any other organization in the industry. Like, they're actually, it's not merchandise, it's actually apparel. You know what I mean? It's like well-made shit.
Yeah.
They've got like dedicated team on that, instead of saying, let's slap a logo on this t-shirt, this Guild t-shirt here, and sell it for $45 or $50 or whatever. Like, they're actually doing that stuff properly, you know? So that you could probably say, like, FaZe Walks that they could run, maybe. Maybe that's a take that can be made in 10 years or 5 years or something, you know? The only controversy I can really think of is Valkyrie's Reflect stuff, where she brought out that, like, blue light blocking skin cream, which But she said, I've seen the research, but we can't share it. But honestly, it works. When actual research that's public, like, says it, nah, it's no bueno, mate. besides that, which was over in like 4 or 5 days, realistically, maybe a week. Besides that, they've done things very well. Like, if 100 Thieves went public, I'd maybe a few quid of that million you gave me could go in there, to be honest. Yeah, but
I probably would.
You know, it's tough. So, like, I guess to wrap up my thoughts, I think now is the time for FaZe Clan to spend, but spend wisely. Don't just waste it on random shit, bringing in creators that don't make sense for FaZe, or that are maybe past the sell-by date a bit, or just the big names, but they're very controversial. Spend wisely, make your acquisitions, but be fucking calculated about it. Communicate accurately and openly. You're basically forced to do that now to a degree. So please do actually communicate instead. Like, silence is sometimes best. It's, if you're in controversy, sometimes it's better to shut the fuck up. But like, they're basically forced to now, like, almost oversharing everything they're doing. So like, they need to stay on top of that. And again, acquire new shit. Get something that you can actually own that is a tangible product or service or company. Or else you're at the mercy of algorithms and eyeballs and staying relevant and, you know, irrelevant in the culture and hype and cool. Like, that is not going to last forever. So, like, you need to start building legacy at this point. That's why Nadeshot built 100 Thieves. It was, like, something outside of himself, which can it's actual tangible company. Instead of just building the Nadeshot brand forever, like, he owns some shit now. You know what I mean? Like, stuff he can point to, stuff he can, like, feel and wear and use to play games. So I don't know what those things will be, but that's truly what I think needs to happen next.
Yep, we shall see what happens.
Right, yo, is this our monthly episode? We'll be back next month for another one.
We'll be back towards the end of October.
Yeah, actually, I feel like take the rest of this year off for a break. To be fair, it's been a mad.
You know what?
If it stays as hot as it is now, mate, I'm not recording anymore because I'm sweating buckets.
Yeah, I have to apologise if we're still rolling, if people are still watching this shit.
Yeah.
I'm sweating my balls off. Apologies.
Well, thankfully, no one can see from, like, here down. I'm not going to say why.
It's got nothing on. Unbelievable.
No, it's nuts, that's all I'll say. But anyway, right, we're done. Like, subscribe, gently rub the subscription button, all that fucking jazz. Cheers for watching. We'll see you on the next one, fuckers.